again, I don't plan on going very long here, but I want you to find the Old Testament book, Nahum. Nahum. And as you're turning there to find Nahum, I love what Dustin shared. I love the way he shared it. I love the way it impacted every person here, regardless of if you've walked through that or not. You were impacted because you've seen what Jesus can do. You've seen the freedom that Jesus offers. Something unbelievable happened on August 3rd of this year in the nation of Iceland. A volcano erupted. And still today, the lava is flowing down, 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 slowly flowing, hot, red lava down the side of the hill. From an eruption that occurred just August the 3rd, just a few short weeks ago. And instead of barricading it off, instead of people becoming alarmed by it, it has become a hot destination for picnickers who picnic literally feet away from hot flowing lava from this volcanic eruption. People find it from all over the country. They're traveling to this new destination, packing a picnic lunch, putting out a blanket to watch and experience this lava flow by. The ash, the rock, the smoke going up. People just coming to this very unusual, dangerous place and making fun out of it. I said I would only share a few minutes, and I mean that. That's all it will take. The Holy Spirit has done a tremendous work here already this morning. But the Lord spoke to my heart and said, what happened in Iceland, people living just feet away from their death and destruction and loss. And some people have been injured, by the way. But most just come and just laugh and make a pleasurable afternoon out of the trip to the volcano. The Lord spoke to my heart and said, this is how many people are living their lives today. Right on the edge of total loss. Yet there is a way out. We fancy ourselves and just living so carelessly. The world just carelessly going about, doing what the world does, living their lives, loving the almighty buck, not knowing that eternity would call in an instant. Many people are living their lives right on the edge of total loss, laughing and picnicking their way, entertaining their way through life. But there is a way out of this. And the way out is called repentance. Repentance. So for a couple more minutes, if I could just have us all focus on repentance and what that really means. Nahum 1, verses 2 and 3. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger, and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and in the clouds are the dust of his feet. Now down verses 6 and 7, if we could read. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. He knoweth them that trust in him. Although God is slow to anger. We're assured of that from this Old Testament prophet. We know that God is patient. He's long-suffering. In fact, we're told that He's not willing that anyone should perish, but He's willing that all would be saved and all would repent and all would come to Jesus. But although God is slow to anger, God must also punish sin because He is holy. He is good. Verse 7 says, the Lord is good. What does that mean? It means the Lord is holy. It means He's pure, altogether righteous and holy and lovely and wonderful. His standard of holiness is set so high that no person without Jesus Christ could ever hit the mark. In fact, when Paul told the church at Rome, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, he means all have missed the mark. None have hit the bullseye of God's holiness. None are righteous. But he knows them. Nahum verse 7, he knows them that trust in him. Meaning he knows those who have repented. Those who trust in Jesus. What does this mean? To trust in Jesus. It means that you have repented of your sins. And you've come to Him humbly. Dustin said the magic word. The word is humble. No one can be saved unless he humbles himself. Because only the humble will repent of their sin. As Adam and Eve's children, we all feel a sense of self-righteousness. We all feel that, why, surely I am not all that bad of a person. Listen to me, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. In every single human being that lives, they all have sinned. None deserve the righteousness of God. But that's why Jesus came. That's why Christ suffered, so that we would repent. In fact, Romans 2:4 says the goodness of God leads sinners to repentance. It's the goodness of God. It's the holiness of God, because we're revealed from Him that you cannot hit the mark without my only begotten Son. But once you realize this, you have to become humble and repent. Repentance was preached by Jesus throughout His whole ministry. Believers have been commissioned to preach to the world. What? Luke 24:47. What have believers been commissioned to preach to the whole world? We've been commissioned to preach repentance. Luke 24:47 tells us that. It says that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And this, there, the Bible also says, Luke 15:7, there is joy in heaven when just one sinner repents. There's joy all over heaven when just one person humbles themselves and repents of their sin, repents of their self-righteous ways, repents of the selfishness of this life, repents and said, God, you're right. I'm guilty and you're holy. I'm unrighteous and you're righteous. I'm impure, but you're pure. The Lord is patient, however. 2 Peter 3:9, throwing a lot of different verses out there because our time is short here. But the Lord is patient. And the Lord is patient so much that He is awaiting the time when all come to repentance. Say with me, repentance. Repentance. We've heard that word. That word has been declared. It's been taught. It's been preached. It's been sung about. It's been celebrated. What does that mean, though? What does repentance actually mean? We just scratched the surface of what the Bible has to say in a handful of references about the subject of repentance. But I can tell you, it's impossible to be saved without repentance. It's impossible to come to Jesus Christ and be born again unless you repent and believe the gospel of the kingdom. But what does repentance mean? It means to have a new mind. It means to have a new mind. It means what Matthew 21, verses 28 through 31 says about it. You know, the Bible shows much sorrow going on. In fact, we see many times throughout Scripture where people realized their sin and they became sorrowful for it, which means they became sorry before God. I'm sorry that I've sinned. But do you know, while that is referenced so many times in Scripture, that in and of itself is not repentance. The clearest illustration in the Bible, it's right here in Matthew 21, of what repentance truly is. Let the Scripture answer that question. What is repentance? But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. He came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." He answered and said, "I will not." But afterward, what did he do? He repented. And then he went. Whew. And he came to the second son and said likewise. And he answered and said, "I go, sir." But the second son went not. He lied. He said, "I go." But he did not go. And Jesus asked this question, verse 31, which of the two did the will of his father? They say unto him, "The first." You think they got it right? Jesus saith unto them, "Verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you." Repentance. It's where you realize, I was wrong, and I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to change my ways. I'm going to walk after Him. I'm not just going to weep and feel sorry when compelled by His Holy Spirit, who all the time, the Spirit of God never stops knocking. And many people, as far as they go, is feel bad for it and cry and sorrowful, but do not follow through with repentance. Repentance is when you feel those things, but not necessarily, but you make up your mind that I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. That's what it means to become a child of God. Being born again means that you came through the only way possible. You came through Jesus. And the way you come through Jesus is you repent. And you say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I'll change it. I was wrong. And when you repent, it is because you have become humble. That's all it is. It's impossible to truly repent if you're not humble. Did you know that? Did you know that it's impossible to repent? Because a humble person comes, and maybe at first, like the first son says, "I will not go." But then he repents and he goes. He obeys. He follows. It took humility. And it takes humility for every person that would come with burdens and heavy laden. The humble come and find that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. "Take on you my yoke," he says. Repent and follow me. Repent and follow me. He's not saying follow these rituals. He's not saying follow the formulas of man. He's not saying complete the traditions that man has put before you. Sacraments, liturgy, all these things that the church has devised. He's just saying, come unto me by faith alone. It's by grace that you're saved. It's not of yourselves. You have no righteousness, but you become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus when you repent. If this message applies to you, brief message, but hard hitting, because it hits you here, causes you to question, where am I? That's what I'm talking about today. That's what I want us to do. I want us to look within, not without, but within. Say, am I ready to meet Jesus? Have I repented? Am I living like it? Am I living like it? Am I living? Ashley, I want you to come down here to the front, and I'll join you. And come on down here. Because eternity may be closer than we realize. It may be closer than we know. In Jesus' name, as we sing this song, if your heart says that you have not repented and you want to do so today, and you want to come to Jesus humble, you cannot care about what other people think. It's not worth it. It'll never be worth it to care about what other people think about you, coming or staying. It's not worth it. It doesn't matter. Their opinions don't matter. What matters is that one day you're going to stand before Jesus, whose love and justice, both together, will try you. Will you at that moment be accepted of Him? You can be sure of it if you've repented and you've changed your mind. His thoughts, His purpose, His life.